Yes!
You fire me up. You fire me all the way.
I love it. You know what? I love the fact.
I feel it in my bloodstream, baby. The power is here to stay.
Yeah, I love the fact that my automation was not able to come up. The application wasn't working. And then my intro music, my on-the-spot trying to keep it together intro music, then started doing that. I guess it's because it wasn't from YouTube, this search result. For some reason, I was using Yahoo real quickly. The browser just automatically defaults to Yahoo. And so the video was actually from my.mail.ru. Yeah, that's the one I wanted to use. Thanks a lot. That's what I was looking for. Man, when you want to get the job done, you should just use Joogle, am I right? But seriously, for some reason, the application I run for the shows, it's called Zara, to get the intros, the musical breaks, the ads, and everything, it's just not working. I restarted the computer because last night there was some weirdness going on with the sound levels. And I wanted to restart and see if I could rectify that. But no, it didn't get rectified. And my attempt to save the show and not seem like a fool was not successful because I didn't go with YouTube. Maybe it's just my internet connection right now, too, not making it good. Anyway, let's actually get this started correctly, and I'll be back in just a second, everyone. We go. I've got no good answers on my end as to what exactly was going on with the automation, so we're just going to have to play the different musical breaks if I need any manually rather than automatically. Welcome everybody to the Solar Storm. Thank you so much for tuning in here to RenegadeBroadcasting.com. It's my pleasure to speak with you all here tonight. If you would like to call in, the call-in lines are open, 747-999-6407. I do have a lot to get through, so if you're looking to chit-chat for a while, might as well hold it off towards the end of the show. But if you have something dealing with some of the current events I'll be covering in the first part of the show, then please do not hesitate to call in and get your voice heard here. Offer some commentary, ask some questions, whatever you want to do. If it's on topic, go for it. Now, for the first part of the show, I'm going to be talking about the PSYOP shootings. It's hard not to when they've flooded us with this news for the past week. First, it was Gilroy, then it was El Paso, and now it's Dayton. So, I really think that we need to go through quickly and just tear this all apart. But first, we need to get a little context for what this is all about. The agenda at play here. What came before? Of course, we've got hoax after hoax after hoax after hoax. And all these staged shootings in particular. More so than bombings and things. You know, the Boston bombing. There are some bombings. 7-7 and all that. But the shootings here in America, I think, are definitely part of the campaign to, well, take our guns. Or at least get us to think about guns in a very radically different way. To limit magazine rounds and everything. They're preparing for an all-out occupation. We are already occupied. This is ZOG, Zionist Occupation Government. But they do not have complete control over the American people just yet. And that's what they're looking for. And they want no resistance when their mask is lifted, when they really reveal just how much they are dominating us. They do not want Americans to rise up and to do something about it with our Second Amendment, with our constitutionally guaranteed rights. That Declaration of Independence, that's basically a terrorist document now. That inspires terrorists. Let's look at the new domestic terrorist threat. Now, this was the news that was being circulated just not too long ago, just a few days ago, where the FBI came out and was warning about conspiracy theories and conspiracy theorists being the big threat. Now, I do want to mention that this whole term conspiracy theory was cooked up by the CIA to discredit different explanations for the JFK shooting and what was going on there. And conspiracy theory culture has been infiltrated for a very long time, going back to the Alex Jones beginnings and even before that, of course. I mean, this goes back a very long time. And Cass Sunstein was just somebody over a decade ago who talked about the cognitive infiltration of conspiracy theorist groups. So let's look at this Yahoo News article. Pretty interesting. The FBI, for the first time, has identified fringe conspiracy theories as a domestic terrorist threat, according to a previously unpublicized document obtained by Yahoo News. The FBI Intelligence Bulletin from the Bureau's Phoenix field office, dated May 30th, 2019, describes conspiracy theory-driven domestic extremist as a growing threat and notes that it is the first such report to do so. It lists a number of arrests, including some that haven't been publicized, related to violent incidents motivated by fringe beliefs. Why haven't any of these different conspiracy theorist-driven attacks been publicized? Why don't we know about these arrests? Well, maybe they weren't even attacks. Maybe they were just arrests and they don't want us to know that they're going around arresting conspiracy theorists. That's what it said. It lists a number of arrests, including some that haven't been publicized, related to violent incidents motivated by fringe beliefs. Let us know then. The document specifically mentions QAnon, a shadowy network that believes in a deep state conspiracy against President Trump, and Pizzagate, the theory that a pedophile ring, including Clinton associates, was being run out of the basement of a Washington, D.C. pizza restaurant, which didn't actually have a basement, they put in parentheses. Listen, that's one small detail, and it turns out that this guy has Pegasus, this museum where, I'm talking about Jimmy Alifantis, who runs Comet Ping Pong. He has Pegasus, this art museum, where they're able to get different performance-related cargo artworks shipped into the United States without having anybody check it. They've got this exemption. So that's a great way to traffic humans. I'm pretty sure that place has a basement. Also, the Bucks Fishing and Camping has a basement. And on his own Twitter account back in the day, or was it Instagram? Who freaking cares? Facebook. He was posting about them digging through into basements and everything. There are so many other things about the Jimmy Alifantis story that are absolutely sickening and disgusting. It didn't have to do with the goddamn basement of a pizza restaurant. But of course, they set up that straw man argument. And come on, President Trump, the pedophile ring with involving the Clintons. Really, can we just maybe look into what Epstein was doing and how it turns out that he was an FBI informant? Yeah. So he was able to get that sweetheart deal because he was willing to work with the FBI. So hey, here's a conspiracy theory for you. Could the FBI be involved in child trafficking? Is that why they're trying to shut down conspiracy theorists? Could they be? Remember that those stories recently about, over the past year or so, about how the FBI has taken over child pornography sites and continue to run them to try to trap people. And they've grown the user base while the FBI's been in charge. And there have been these stories about the FBI not being able to prosecute certain child pornography, child rape imagery, videos and photos because it would ruin, it would show how they're running their operations. So they can't make arrests. They can't make arrests because they are unwilling to reveal how their operations are being run. It would compromise the whole thing. Yeah, we're running the child pornography internet sites. We're doing that, but we can't arrest these guys because it would just reveal too much. So we're doing our good work here. We're trying our hardest running child pornography rings. Is the FBI involved? Why are they coming after conspiracy theorists here? Have the FBI been covering up this whole time for people like, Jeffrey Epstein, Donald Trump, the Clintons, Alan Dershowitz? Is the FBI involved? Why haven't they figured this out for a long time now? Why has it been up to people like us here at Renegade to do documentaries that put all the pieces together, showing the big picture? That's not our job. We don't get paid to do that. The FBI is actually paid to investigate this stuff. So how is it that they were just so oblivious? How they've seemed to do nothing as the United States sinks deeper and deeper into the hellish world of child trafficking. It is an epidemic. These child rape gangs that are at the bottom of society, the dregs of society, and all the way up to the top. Hey, FBI, what were you doing, when we heard about the call boys, the child sex slaves that were touring the Reagan White House? You never really took anybody out, did you? So I'm just going to operate under the assumption that you, FBI, are involved. You are complicit. You are a criminal organization. I've got to operate under that assumption. And I don't care if you send another one of your agents out to my door, like you did back when I was organizing the White Man March. I'm sick of this. When is anybody with a badge, with some kind of government job, actually going to do their goddamn job? The swamp is not being drained, contrary to what some of these people want you to think. I'm not willing to just trust the plan like the Q-tards thing. And, of course, they set up QAnon as a dangerous, shadowy group, that's fueling these violent conspiracy theories. That's a government-run operation. Of course. Maybe it involves AI. I don't even know. I don't care. I don't trust it one damn bit. Trust the plan. Those Democrats, they've been ruining everything. Oh, yeah. Was Dennis Hastert a Democrat? Did Jeffrey Epstein deal just with Democrats? Seems like he had a lot of Republican friends, too, including President Trump. Anyway, let's continue. The FBI assesses these conspiracy theories very likely will emerge, spread, and evolve in the modern information marketplace, occasionally driving both groups and individual extremists to carry out criminal or violent acts, the document states. They're telling you exactly what is going to be happening with the coming shootings here in this document. We'll discuss these shootings a little bit more in depth, but I'm just setting the stage. They're warning, conspiracy theory-driven terrorist attacks will be coming. Here's a conspiracy theory. The FBI is involved in these incidents that we're seeing play out in front of our eyes. And they're actually legally allowed to do so after the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012, which was passed in 2013, right after Sandy Hook, which made it absolutely legal to run propaganda operations against the American people on American soil. It also goes on to say the FBI believes conspiracy theory-driven extremists are likely to increase during the 2020 presidential election cycle. I wonder how they know these things. I've got a I've got conspiracy theories. And theory. Think about what theory means. A theory isn't just a hypothesis. A theory is what you come to after doing, let's say, going through the scientific process, doing an actual investigation, getting some facts together, doing some experiments. Then you come up with a theory. It's the theory of gravity. Most people accept it as true because most theories, if it reaches a level of theory, are accepted as true. And actually, a lot of the conspiracy theories out there are accepted as true by most people. Nobody trusts the goddamn lying government and media. So that's why they're so worried here. The FBI said another factor driving the intensity of this threat is the uncovering of real conspiracies or cover-ups involving illegal, harmful, or unconstitutional activities by government officials or leading political figures. Who would have thunk that people are starting to believe conspiracy theories after the conspiracy theories turn out to be true? Huh. This is a quote from the document, that the intensity of this threat is being driven by, quote, the uncovering of real conspiracies or cover-ups involving illegal, harmful, or unconstitutional activities by government officials or leading political figures. And how many of these figures, might I ask, have been taken down by the glorious FBI? Who's doing their jobs? I'm the only one doing their goddamn job here, and I'm not employed by any government agency. I'm just getting paid from the goodwill of the people out there who listen and are willing to support in whatever way, buying paintings, buying Heathen Herbs products, or sending a check. That's who I'm getting paid by. This is citizen journalism, if you will. This is not vigilante justice, because we're not actually carrying out the justice, but this is vigilante intelligence, let's say, that is taking place here. The FBI does not specify which political leaders or which cover-ups it was referring to. President Trump is mentioned by name in the latest FBI document, which notes that the origins of QAnon is the conspiratorial belief that Q, allegedly a government official, posts classified information online to reveal a covert effort led by President Trump to dismantle a conspiracy involving deep state actors and global elites allegedly engaged in an international child sex trafficking ring. The real conspiracy is that QAnon was put out there so that we don't get angry enough, that the patriotic Americans out there don't get angry enough to start actually doing something about this very real problem. Let's jump down to the section where they talk about the white supremacists. The FBI is already under fire for its approach to domestic extremism. In a contentious hearing last week before the Senate Judiciary Committee, FBI Director Christopher Wray faced criticism from Democrats who said the Bureau was not focusing enough on white supremacist violence. The term white supremacist, white nationalist, is not included in your statement to the committee when you talk about threats to America, Senator Richard Durbin said. There's a reference to racism, which I think probably was meant to include that, but nothing specific. Wray told lawmakers the FBI had done away with separate categories for black identity extremists and white supremacists, and said the Bureau was instead now focusing on racially motivated violence. But he added, I will say that a majority of the domestic terrorism cases that we've investigated are motivated by some version of what you might call white supremacist violence. The FBI had faced mounting criticism for the term black identity extremist after its use was revealed by Foreign Policy magazine in 2017. Critics pointed out that the term was an FBI invention based solely on race, since no group or even any specific individuals actually identify as black identity extremists. That doesn't seem to matter when you label everybody white supremacist. How many people out there who might identify as white nationalists or pro-white, how many of them actually identify themselves as white supremacists, yet that term is bandied about willy-nilly? It's so infuriating seeing what's going on at the highest levels of our government, our government, and also being spouted out by the mockingbird media, controlled by the CIA. Oh, it's been kosher from the start. It has been. And it's been criminal from the start, even before its start, with the OSS working with the Kosher Nostra during World War II, with Meyer Lansky. It is an enemy intelligence agency running operations on American soil. Oh, but Trump just can't praise them and the FBI enough and our heroic police, all of which are part of the Zog Enforcement Agency. It's a big, big Judeo-Masonic conspiracy. It indeed it is. They're all working together in a way that is detrimental to us all. Not all of the people who are involved know the end game. Of course they don't. They're not in on the grand conspiracy. They're not taking a look at this from the perspective of the grand chessboard. They're just doing their jobs. Their Judeo-Masonic jobs. It's so obvious over there in Britain, too, where they have the checkerboards on their hats, too. All right, let's take a look at this article that came out from Dimitri. Some good news here. Dimitri's published a few good articles over on the Tribune, and I do like to highlight some of the contributions, the original work that we get over on the Tribune by reading it out on the show. And this one is very pertinent to the topic. Fewer Americans trust the FBI, and that's a good sign. So he talks about how the FBI now considers conspiracy theories a new domestic terrorism threat. And I guess I'll just read the whole thing. We got some time here, and I'm not taking breaks, and this article's pretty short. According to a document obtained by Yahoo News, which I just read. I didn't read the document, but I read some of the news article. It may be unsurprising that an agency which competes for public funding would want to present everything as a threat. Yeah, not really that surprising that they want to make it seem like there are threats everywhere, when that's their job, to deal with all these domestic terrorism threats, just like the ADL. They want there's anti-Semitism everywhere. Oh, look, Rabbi Goldstein spray-painted, I mean a white supremacist spray-painted a swastika on some gravestones. It's horrible. What is perhaps even less surprising is that public trust in the Bureau has been steadily eroding, with scandals surrounding everything from alleged sexism to civil asset forfeiture. The FBI might want to consider picking another fight. The FBI has already had its share of scandals this year. In June, the Daily Beast reported on lawsuits against the FBI put forth by female trainees. The lawsuits alleged everything from discriminatory hiring practices to sexual harassment. More than 15 women have made allegations against the FBI, with one allegedly being told she needed to play the game with male employees to progress in her career. The alleged victim also claimed that a training division unit chief told her there was nothing she could do. "You'll be having a lot of mixed emotions right now, and there is no internal appeal process," the unit chief is quoted as saying. Scandals like this one are likely to damage public trust, and there is already evidence for this. How could you not trust these guys in the FBI, though? I mean, they've got to be doing the right thing. They go to the Holocaust Museum and learn what the dangers of fascism really mean for this country and the world. And they go to the Martin Luther King training to learn about the evils of white racism. All right, public opinion. To add to the FBI's negative publicity, its public trust has waned among the average American. A 2018 poll by Axios showed a diminishing trust in the FBI. This was especially true among Republicans, 47% of whom reported an unfavorable view of the FBI, and just 38% holding a decidedly favorable view. The FBI's failing trust among conservative voters has been tied closely to the recently concluded Russia probe. Regardless, skepticism of the probe had been demonstrated in both parties. One poll showed 63% of voters believe the FBI was withholding evidence from Congress. Likewise, a Harvard CAPS Harris poll showed 54% of respondents believed Special Counsel Robert Mueller had conflicts of interest. This is the guy who essentially covered up 9/11. Oh, I'm going to investigate that. This was set up to fail. The whole investigation. That's the real conspiracy. And the another real conspiracy is that this was all a shield from the very real election meddling that went on to get Trump into office by Israel, a foreign power who's allowed to meddle in our elections, spy on Americans, and do whatever the hell they else they please, like deal drugs in our country. And I'll get to how Trump commuted the sentence of an Israeli drug dealer later if we have time. Another 2018 survey by Huffington Post also did not help the FBI's public image. Just 18% of respondents claimed to have a great deal of trust in the Bureau. In contrast, 37% reported having not very much or no trust, and about 13% were uncertain. Distrust was especially strong among self-identified independents, about 45% of whom had little or no faith in the FBI. Despite claims made by some analysts, the same survey found that that negativity directed at the FBI was not all partisan. When asked who they thought was more trustworthy, the FBI or Donald Trump, voters were much more likely to be undecided. This could suggest that many, if not most, Americans trust neither the FBI nor President Trump. Raising my hand, it's me! It's me. Want to know why? Everyone is a terrorist. The FBI is going to have an especially hard time in its mission to target conspiracy theories, which are often just the majority opinion. A 2016 survey by researchers from Chapman University studied the public's belief in supposed conspiracies. A solid majority of respondents, about 54%, said they believed the government was concealing evidence regarding 9/11. Nearly half felt they were lied to about the assassination of former President John F. Kennedy. About three-fourths of those surveyed leaned towards believing at least one theory on the list. So, belief in conspiracies. The government is concealing what they know about the 9/11 attacks, 54.3%. The JFK assassination, 49.6%. Alien encounters, 42.6%. Global warming, 42.1%. Plans for a one-world government, 32.9%. Come on, that one should be at least 88%. They talk about their one world order, their new world order, all the damn time. There's already the United Nations and everything. But I guess with Trump saying, oh, we don't like the UN because they come down so hard on Israel, even though they don't. I guess some people get the false impression that the United States is not part of this one world order. And that there's actually conflict between the West and the BRICS countries and all that. It's just like the manufactured Cold War. Obama's birth certificate, 30.2%. The origin of the AIDS virus, 30.2%. The death of Antonin Scalia, 27.8%. And the moon landing, 24.2%. I would think that one would be higher, to be honest. I can't believe some people still believe the official moon landing story. Besides this data, there is one issue on which Americans are even more united against the FBI. That issue is the issue of civil asset forfeiture, the seizing of property or assets from individuals suspected of, but not necessarily convicted of, a criminal offense. Surveys show that when Americans understand what this practice actually is, they overwhelmingly oppose it. Who wouldn't? Additionally, a poll by the Mississippi Center for Public Policy found that 625 registered voters, 88% opposed civil asset forfeiture. So out of 625, 88% of those opposed civil asset forfeiture. Trump is for civil asset forfeiture. He has made statements on it in the past, and I've played those statements. In general, the tide of public opinion is working against the FBI on several key issues. Likewise, negative media publicity is unlikely to help the FBI in this regard. Yeah, come after conspiracy theorists, and who's it going to seem to prove right? Oh, we just had to shut him up because he's got dangerous theories. Oh, so exposing child rapists, who are proven child rapists, he's a dangerous conspiracy theorist? Why are you arresting the child rapists, you goddamn idiots? Okay. Likewise, moreover, even if law enforcement and federal agencies do not mind being admonished by the general public, they could easily come under the increasing threat of reduced funding and internal discord in the future. If the FBI wants to operate as a reputable entity, they should stop picking taxpayer-funded fights they can't win and instead resume serving the American people. I don't know about that last sentence because it resume serving the American people. When were they? we could look back at J. Edgar Hoover. We could look back at what the FBI has been doing with the criminal cabal for a long time. Openly working with the mafia. Doing blackmailing and being blackmailed alike. It's just a... Oh, it's been a very sick, sick organization. Now, I don't mean to say that the FBI hasn't done some good things. It seems like some of their investigations are perhaps legitimate. And the FBI did bust up Shalom Rubashkin's meth operation at his meatpacking plant, where he was hiring a bunch of illegal immigrants. But did they present that evidence? Did they pursue that? No. No, the meth lab thing just disappeared from any of the future reports, any of the coverage, and the trial as well. So obviously, they are controlled, of course. And that's not just a conspiracy theory, that's a fact. Okay, now let's just briefly talk about some of the rhetoric coming out just specifically against white people. It's conspiracy theorists and especially white conspiracy theorists, white supremacists. So Elizabeth Warren, in the recent CNN Democratic debate, made these comments about how white supremacy is domestic terrorism. And I'll play this. So this was before, I think this might have even been before the garlic shooter, the Gilroy garlic gunman, the 777. Let's just play this here.
Going to combat the rise of white supremacy.
We need to call out white supremacy for what it is, domestic terrorism. And it poses a threat to the United States of America. We live in a country now where the president is advancing environmental racism, economic racism, criminal justice racism, healthcare racism, the way we do.
No, he's not actually. Unless you're talking about what he's doing to white people by allowing the invasion to get ramped up to ridiculous levels and not deporting the people who come in. Oh, sure, the media makes it look like he's the greatest racist ever. He's essentially, David Duke in the White House. Oh, David Duke. Well, in some ways, he is kind of like David Duke in the White House. Jewish controllers made to seem like he's actually advocating for white interests. Okay, so there's that. There is all that rhetoric about conspiracy theorists, about white supremacists, and then what do we have happen? Of course, we have the Gilroy garlic gunman. Oh, yeah. And I don't even know if he even existed. It seems like he might not have. And actually, the article that came out today kind of makes that case, even though, it's pretending like this is all real. The Mercury News had an article, Who Was Santino Legan? Details of Gilroy Shooter's Life Remain a Mystery. Oh, well, I can tell you who Santino was. He's a half Iranian. He's an Iranian terrorist who read Might is Right, which is a white supremacist book. Oh, it's telling me to use a freaking ad blocker. God. All right, I've got to disable this ad blocker. Then I'll get back to this post here. And look at all those ads that are coming up. Frustrating here. I hate when they do that. Until this horrific attack on Sunday, the 19-year-old seems to have left no discernible impression on his hometown. Wasn't that interesting? I wonder what's going on with that. Now I've got to wait for all these goddamn ads to load. So the text isn't even coming up. He has to load all the ads first. Okay, here we go. His grandfather was elected to two terms as a county supervisor. His father was a well-known track and field athlete. His brother's achievements in athletics and academics were repeatedly celebrated in the local newspaper. But until the final moments of his life, Santino Legan had not made any discernible impressions on this growing South Bay city. The 19-year-old had little public presence online or in social media. Yeah, he just made an account and, you know, posted some Might is Right and something about the garlic festival. Many of his former classmates had no memory of him. Wow, that's crazy. Former classmates had no idea he even existed? It's kind of like the people who were asked about Obama when he was supposedly at Columbia, right? His only mention in the Gilroy Dispatch was a passing reference in a story about his older brother Rossino. At 5:41 p.m. last Sunday, that changed. Carrying an assault rifle he'd bought in Nevada and illegally brought back to his hometown, Santino Legan cut through a fence, stepped onto the grounds of the Gilroy Garlic Festival, and began an assault on the annual celebration of the crop that has defined his hometown for a century. Sinead talked a lot about the garlic wars and how China is dominating with all this peeled garlic in our supermarkets and everything. There's a lot to garlic, to be honest, and I'll get to that in just a second. But first, I wanted to mention just how amazing it was that three people who survived this shooting also survived Las Vegas. Maybe some of these people will go on to be like Mason Wells and survive yet another terrorist attack and then have their head shrunken. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, take a look at Mason Wells after one of these terrorist attacks where some politicians are greeting him, visiting with him in the hospital. He's got bandages on, and his head has shrunk. Like he was Michael Keaton at the end of Beetlejuice, when he has the dust from the voodoo shaman guy or whatever, the witch doctor sprinkled on his head and his head shrinks. Yeah, Mason Wells, he had his head shrunk after the third terrorist attack. This story is out of USA Today. This is not happening again. Three who survived Gilroy Garlic Festival shooting escaped Las Vegas in 2017. That shooting, oh, so over the top. And nobody who insisted that that was real. Maybe there's a conspiracy theory about Saudi Arabia or something. But, oh, people were getting massacred. People who said that never showed me one bit of evidence from all those people who were taking video, who had cell phones, never showed me one bullet impacting a person, anybody who was legitimately injured, or even just ricocheting off the ground. They never showed me bullets hitting anything. No evidence of bullets hitting anything ever, not even afterwards with any of these rounds on the ground. Nothing. There was absolutely no evidence for anybody who's a critical thinker, at least, that this thing even took place. So anyway, here we go. After surviving a horrendous mass shooting at a Las Vegas festival in 2017 that left 58 people dead, Alice Olive, oh, look at that name, Alice Olive, oh, Olive was at garlic, found solace in a Facebook support group for fellow survivors where she met Christopher and George Cook. What are they cooking up here? What are they cooking up? We got olives, we got some garlic, and we'll get to some of the other ingredients in just a little bit. Olive says it has taken her 2 years to get comfortable with the idea of attending another big outdoor music festival. In the end, she decided to join the Cook brothers at a local festival last week. The venue, the Gilroy Garlic Festival. Against seemingly impossible odds, the three survivors of the Las Vegas shooting, the deadliest single-day mass shooting in U.S. history, walked right into another massacre last Sunday. Once again, they escaped alive. Three people were killed and 12 injured at the California festival before the gunman was shot and killed by police. Oh man, this is not happening again, Olive told. I don't know why I read her voice like that. Olive told KTXL-TV of her first reaction when the bullets started flying. All right, so you see here in this article from USA Today that it says that the police shot and killed the gunman, the Gilroy Garlic gunman. But did they? Did they really? Because actually, there's some contradictory news coming out here. Yeah. Here's a news article from MSN. Gilroy Garlic Festival shooter, call him the gunman. Gilroy Garlic gunman killed himself, coroner says, contradicting police version of events. The Gilroy Garlic Festival gunman killed himself, the county medical examiner concluded Friday, contradicting an earlier police account that three officers had shot him dead within a minute. Santino William Legan, however you say it, 19, opened fire at the popular food festival Sunday evening, killing three people and wounding 13 more. Police had previously said his rampage was cut short when three Gilroy policemen engaged and killed Legan in less than a minute. The Santa Clara County Medical Examiner, however, said that Legan died of a self-inflicted intraoral gunshot wound, according to a spokeswoman for the Medical Examiner. At a news conference Thursday, Scott Smithy, the Gilroy police chief, declined to say how many times Legan had been shot. He identified the Gilroy officers who engaged Legan as Eric Cryer, Hugo Del Moral, and Robert Basuino, all longtime law enforcement veterans. "I think they're heroes. I don't think they view themselves that way," Smithy said. "I think they view themselves as just doing their job." Legan killed three people, two of them children. Stephen Romero, Kayla Salazar, 13. This Kayla Salazar, the photos that they show, it looks like a 45-year-old mestizo woman. And Trevor Irby, who's 25. And they did not identify a motive. You don't need a motive when your operating guidebook, your operating system, your OS is might is right. You just go out there and you take action. Might is right. Yeah, this guy was promoting might is right. And let me just read this poem that appears at the end of Might is Right. This is just, it's so ridiculous. From Sandy Hook to London Tower. Wait, what? Okay, why are they talking about Sandy Hook here? This book was written in 1890. And the first line talks about Sandy Hook. This is the very last page of many versions of Might is Right. Maybe all of them, I don't know. At least the version I had before I got rid of that book. From Sandy Hook to London Tower, from Jaffa to Japan, they can take who have the power, they may keep who can. This is the law of heaven and hell, stupendous and divine, the highest, holiest law of all that governs mine and thine. The law of its sun and star, of president and pope. It is the prisoner at the bar, the gallows and the rope. It is the lawyer and his fee, the shearer and his sheep, the eagle soaring swift and free, the dreadnought on the deep. It is the bond, it is the loan, the profit and the loss, the usurer on his bullion throne, the idol of the cross. It is the Goth, it is the Hun, the tyrant and his prey, and flame and saber, club and gun, oh, taxes that we pay. It is the law of all the climes and all the things to be, and all the bold, tremendous times that you and I shall see. From Sandy Hook to London Tower, from Greenland to Japan, they will take who have the power, and they may keep who can. I just think that's so interesting, where this guy was a big Might is Right fan, this half-Iranian Might is Right fan, where the book ends with a poem that involves Sandy Hook mentioned twice. What's going on here? Sandy Hook was the big shooting that kicked off a new wave of complete PSYOP shootings here in the United States that were intended to really brainwash people about the way that they think about guns. So let's turn to Eric Holder almost 25 years ago and listen to what the agenda might really be. He tells us here.
I've also asked people who have influence over youngsters, entertainers, athletes, to be involved in this program as well. But not only them, community leaders, Jesse Jackson, Mayor Barry, people who have credibility with young people should be on the television, on the radio, as much as we possibly can, and telling these youngsters that it's wrong to carry a gun, and that if you have information about people who are carrying guns, you've got to share that with Chief Thomas and with his people as well. I've also asked the school board to make a part of every day some kind of anti-violence, anti-gun message. Every day, every school, at every level. One thing that I think is clear with young people and with adults as well is that we just have to be repetitive about this. It's not enough to simply have a catchy ad on a Monday and then only do it every Monday. We need to do this every day of the week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way. We also want to have a hotline.
All right. Rewind.
Every Monday. We need to do this every day of the week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way. We also want to...
Okay. They're doing it every day. Brainwashing people to think of guns in a vastly different way. Who cares about the Constitution, Second Amendment? You don't need to defend yourself. You've got Eric Holder. And people just like him, since he's no longer in power, who will defend you? They have the guns, they have the might, and they're right. I mean, sure, he was running guns to Mexican drug cartels. They called it gun walking. They let them walk. And those guns came back north of the border, and actually a Border Patrol agent was killed by one of those guns that Eric Holder let walk. In his Fast and the Furious, that's what they called it, gun running scheme, which I'm sure did involve some drug running. That's probably what they got in return for the guns that they were sending the cartels. Oh, but I'm a conspiracy theorist. That one's out in the open. The Fast and the Furious program under Eric Holder is out in the open. I guess guns aren't evil when you're giving them to cartels. So tell me again, why we should trust the government to protect us and let them have the guns. Isn't it crazy that while Trump is in office, you've got these loony lefties who want the government to have the sole use of semi-automatic rifles or even handguns. Some of these people are arguing that we need to have no guns. And you trust Trump's government enough to say no American should have guns besides people who work for the American government? Are you idiots? And same thing with the people on the right too. These people are idiots. They trust Donald Trump to do the right thing. They Carolyn Emmerich promoting him all the time, for example, when he has actually been implementing gun control. Illegal gun confiscation and control with red flag laws, with the limiting of magazines taking place now, with the bump stocks and everything. Yeah, he was causing Dianne Feinstein to rub her hands with glee. Dianne Feinstein, who's been fighting so long, this Jewish supremacist who's been fighting so long from the loony left, she got her way. The loony left has been getting their way the whole time. But because they're still calling Trump a racist and pretending like they don't love what he's doing, they're getting away with it. Nobody even freaking seems to know or care. With all of the massive amounts of illegal immigration that have been coming into this country, and I'll get to that in a little bit, they still think that, oh, those leftists are, at least he's not a leftist. At least he's not Obama again. Obama was great for waking people up because he was so overtly anti-white. But in all honesty, he actually was doing a much better job at deporting under his administration. And I know it wasn't really him doing anything, but under Obama, many more illegals were being deported and not as many were coming in, even though he was the whole dreamer guy. But under racist Trump, we get absolutely inundated. We are invaded every single day. And yep, of course, you got to have shooters against this invasion, PSYOP shooters, who oppose this invasion, so that anybody who opposes this invasion can be labeled a terrorist, a domestic terrorist threat. But anyway, before I move on to the next shooting we have here in chronological order, I want to mention this about the Gilroy Garlic Gunman show, which Tabitha brought up, just about garlic, since Sinead was talking about this as well. There's something here. It's not just, you know, that you've got a woman named Olive. There's much more to this, but let's focus on the garlic right now. The Jewish gusto for garlic didn't seem to dispel this stereotype either. This is from My Jewish Learning. Why garlic is actually the most Jewish ingredient ever. Perhaps the best pictorial proof of this medieval perspective is an image of a Jew from the 15th century. Worms, in one hand he holds a garlic root, in the other a bag of money. So, an image of a Jew from the 15th century, garlic in one hand, bag of money in the other. Oh, there's Nazis! They existed back in the 15th century. White people just have these stereotypes against Jews and our love of garlic. The official court historian of the 15th century Catholic monarchs, Andres Bernaldez, even cited this bad smell as justification for the monarch's expulsion of the Jews from Spain. To Bernaldez, the Spanish-Jewish love of the bulb proved them to be gluttons who never stopped eating onions and garlic fried in oil. Ew. The smell of which displeased Bernaldez even more. To him, garlic fried in oil had the smell of the unbaptized and represented reason enough for their expulsion. In Spain, this disdain for the allium and the people who most used it could even prove fatal. Even the scent of cooking garlic wafting from a window was considered enough evidence for prosecution by the Inquisition. And here's from the foreword. I had this info on garlic saved in my notes. The origins of this stereotype are probably as ancient as the bones of Marcus Aurelius, but it's in the medieval writings that we see reference to Photor Judaicus, the Jewish stench of degeneracy and garlic, an anti-Semitic icon developed that has lived through the centuries. The evil Jew, dishonest, beaky-nosed, and rank-smelling, looking for ever more ways to dehumanize Jews. The Nazis used a perfectly acceptable and well-known symbol to represent Jews, the garlic bulb. Hey, that's very interesting, isn't it? Okay, now let's get on to El Paso. Yeah, we've got El Paso here, and the shooting that took place at the Wailing Walmart, with all of the talk of Wall Martial Law and FEMA camps being set up in Walmarts, this is especially interesting. Now, this guy had this manifesto that was released that some people say seems just like what would be posted on poll, you know, Fed posted on poll, meaning it's not coming from somebody who is one of us, but somebody who wants to seem like they are. Somebody, like the manifesto was written by, let's say, an FBI agent who had scoured poll for a little while and tried to speak their language. Hello, fellow pollsters. That, I'd say at least half the people who are on poll work for some kind of law enforcement or intelligence agency or bots. I don't like that place, never have, never will. I'm sure there's some genuine people there. But the poll threads do dig up certain things. That's where the manifesto was posted beforehand, it seems, and there's some questions of whether or not it's legitimate. None of this is legitimate. But this guy's profile is so ridiculous. This Patrick Crucius, and Anthony was bringing up some interesting things about his name. Well, Patrick. There's a trick in there, but of course, people are named Patrick. I understand that. But Anthony was talking about the Cruz and the Cius, which seems to perhaps involve Sirius, the dog star. There could be something to that, but these names do seem interesting to me. Patrick Crucius has a Twitter profile, which is no longer there, but you can still get the archive.org of it. And his name is at Patrick Crucius, and the big, you know, headline thing is Patrick Crucius, gun, anti-abortion, hashtag MAGA, hashtag Duke. And his profile is amateur ghost hunter, 21 years young, money, up, 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 gamers rise, up, mailbox, you know, because you could use all these emoticon things, proud God-loving Christian, flashlight, Fortnite pro, mouse, whistle, hearts, tongue out, upside down, RIP, Stephen J, hashtag stop imagination, X. Some people think he was trying to write stop immigration. No, I think that that's correct. Hashtag stop imagination. That's probably what they're trying to do here, is just stop imagination. I don't know. This is all so weird. But the weirdest thing of all is the link that he puts in his Twitter bio. And it's to deviantart.com/tag/babyfur. What is that, you might ask? That's a board it's a group of images of baby fur, which references these people who are into the furry culture. And the furry culture, if you're not aware, you probably are, it involves grown adults mostly, or young adults especially, dressing up in these big costumes like they're mascots. But they go and socialize together, and they do a lot of degenerate things, and it's got a lot of sodomites involved, a lot of just weird people. So this guy wasn't just interested in furries; he was interested in the furries that infantilize themselves, that, you know, will wear diapers and things like that. So the deviant art tag that he listed there, it shows a lot of cartoons of baby furries. So you had a furry or a furry lover, a baby furry lover, posting a manifesto about illegal immigration, saying he really liked what Brendan Tarrant wrote or did, you know, with his Great Replacement manifesto and the shooting of the mosques, the multiple mosques. And I've gone through that ad nauseum. I'm not going to get into that. Anyway, this shooting at the Walmart, it looks so freaking staged. All these militarized police and the red shirts directing things. There's one scene of some guy with a red shirt on, basically, like, he's completely prepared and just running the show, giving orders. And he's talking to crisis actors. Of course, not everybody there would be a crisis actor. There are some genuine witnesses. They see something going down. They think it might be real. And what's interesting is that they report a lot of different things that really go against what the mass media narrative is. And so, of course, when these people are reporting that they saw multiple shooters... And actually, with the Garlic Gilroy gunman, it was originally thought to be gunmen. They were looking for a second shooter. There were some people who were reporting multiple shooters. Now, with this one in Texas at El Paso, there are a lot of people talking about this. There are many eyewitnesses that say 3 to 4 armed men were dressed all in black. They entered the store and they started shooting. But of course, it's just a single suspected gunman, Patrick Crucius. And he's of Allen, Texas. So there are some quotes from people who are eyewitnesses. There's a mother and her daughter. And they were talking about how it was 3 men dressed all in black. So a young girl named Brittany said, "That's when my mom is like, no, it is actually shooting. And she saw 3 men went in and they were all dressed in black. That's when my mom said, drop down, go to the floor." So Brittany says that neither she nor her mom actually saw anyone get shot or wounded, but that she saw that the guys were holding guns, or at least they looked like guns. Who knows if they were actual guns? So let's listen into this here. And of course, I cannot play it on the embed to go through to Twitter. And of course, I get a notification saying I've been permanently banned from Twitter. Your account is suspended. It's not permitted to perform this action. All right, let me unmute.
What happened?
So we were on the air, on the clothesman, and we just thought it was something hitting the floor and or the wall. And that's when my mom's like, no, it is actually shooting. And she saw three men running in. And they were all just in back. And that's when my mom said, drop down, go down to the floor. And after that, I just grabbed my mom, my little brother by the hand, and I just took them outside through the back.
Did you guys see anyone shot, wounded?
No, we just saw the, well, my mom saw the three men running.
Were they holding guns?
So she
saw them actually shooting the guns. How are you feeling right now?
Well, panicking, scared.
But your family's all safe?
Yeah, my family's all safe.
Okay, thank you, Brittany. You were inside the Walmart.
So people will hear this and they'll think that, well, it was real. These people really did get shot, but it was the conspiracy is that it was an intelligence operation, you know, where you had military men or whoever dressed up in these all black outfits and they just have this patsy out there to blame it on, but that people really died. That's not what I would take from this. I'd take that they had three guys dressed in black who were pretending to shoot people and crisis actors going down, and then some honest eyewitnesses who were just telling what they saw. Or are the witnesses themselves there just to get people, well, having all sorts of conspiracy theories about what's taking place? We hear so many times about multiple shooters and then just gets whittled down to one. And they can't even keep that one straight. I'll get to that in just a second, the photos of this guy. But Brittany's mom, Adriana, she gives interviews as well, but I'm not going to play it because it's in Spanish and I don't feel like translating. But she says, as we were waiting to pay, I saw men run in shooting. There was at least three or four people. They were dressed in black. I did not see their faces. I saw them dressed all in black and they were the ones shooting because I could see their weapons and the bullets firing. Do you see bullets firing or do you see flashes? I mean, I'd like to ask her that. Additionally, you have the El Paso mayor, DeMargo, telling Wolf Blitzer that three suspects were taken into custody. Yeah, the El Paso mayor said three suspects were taken into custody. And there does appear to be evidence that the person that was arrested was different than the one who was seen on the camera footage entering the Walmart. You might have seen some of the images of this where the guy's entering the Walmart and he's got a gun in his hands. Well, he's wearing cargo pants. He's not dressed all in black. He has a black shirt. He doesn't have a mask on. He doesn't have black pants on. They're khaki cargo pants. But the guy who's arrested, you don't see any cargo pockets on those pants. The guy who's arrested looks a little bit thicker. The guy who they show in some of these photos, I mean, who are we looking at? It's very grainy, but the guy does not look the same in these different photos. That's probably why it's grainy. There's also a third eyewitness who said that there were multiple gunmen and they're wearing masks. Oh, actually, this guy didn't mention multiple gunmen. He mentioned just one, a 6-foot guy who had an AK-47. He even described him as German Anglo. He said he saw him twice and that he was dressed in all black. He had a mask. That was about it. I could play the clip for you, but you could find it yourself. Just search eyewitness describes being shot at during El Paso Walmart shooting, and you should be able to find that video. I mean, I'm pretty sure you believe me, it's here. I'll just play a few seconds of it. Just, you know, do your research. This guy said he was wearing a mask. The guy who enters and the guy who's arrested does not have a mask on. So what's the real story? What's going on here? And let's talk just a little bit more about how this guy, the shooter, does not appear to be the same person in these photos. And not just the ones with the guy who's arrested and the guy going in the camera. From this same news organization, the New York Post, from the same day, which was today, we see... Where is that photo? Oh, yes. We see them putting out two different images. Wow, that post is... Oh, there it is. One story is titled, El Paso Walmart Shooting Suspect Patrick Crucius Charged with Capital Murder. If you want to go find that photo. He looks like a young Alan Dershowitz there. He's got the glasses on. He's got this kind of look on his face. The big, big lips. And it looks like a pretty big nose. He looks Jewish. He definitely looks Jewish. He looks like a young Alan Dershowitz. Now, there's another story from later on in this day, and it's titled, Prosecutors Will Seek Death Penalty for El Paso Shooting Suspect Patrick Crucius. Same guy. Same shooting. Okay? Patrick Crucius. This guy looks like a mestizo. He's got a little goatee, doesn't have the big lips. Obviously, not the same guy. Completely different. Completely different. What are they doing here? I've seen them throw out different people before, but this one, it doesn't even look close. So who is Patrick Crucius? There's no way that these two people could be the same person. And okay, unless you had a serious CIA type, Ethan Hunt in Mission Impossible type mask operation going on. Unless you had some, I don't even know then if you could do it. You'd have to have some really authentic lip implants and all sorts of other stuff to make these people be the same. It's just so infuriating what they get away with. But yeah, the shooter looks like Dershowitz. It's ridiculous. Oh, you know what's interesting? Parents of a Parkland slain student... In Sheriff Israel's district, of course. These Parkland parents were actually in El Paso after the mass shooting. They were there because they were doing some pro-immigration rally. And they were there to urge the city to raise their voices against gun violence. Yes. Just right there for the photo op. It's great. The parents of Joaquin Oliver... Again with the olive, huh? One of the 14 Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School students killed in the Parkland massacre were just across the border from El Paso, Texas on Saturday when a shooter opened fire on random shoppers in that city. Manuel Oliver said he will continue his plans on Sunday to paint a mural at Las Americas Immigrant Advocacy Center in El Paso. Sunday would have been Joaquin's 19th birthday. Okay, so it wasn't a rally, necessarily, but he's there to paint a mural about immigrant advocacy. And just coincidentally, there's this white supremacist gunman who was murdering all these Mexicans. So this guy said, I'm not surprised it happened. I've been fighting the last 2 years, telling people it could happen anywhere, anytime. Oliver and his wife, Patricia, have been traveling the world nearly nonstop since Joaquin's death, urging anyone who will listen about the need to change the nation's permissive gun laws. The fact that the latest slaughter happened in Texas, where there are a lot of guns but not a lot of gun laws, doesn't make it less horrifying, he said. Oh yeah, and you had Parkland survivors and parents and the rest over there in New Zealand, right before the Christchurch shooting. Isn't that incredible? What a coinkydink with all of this. Come on, guys. Isn't this pretty clear by now? Now, I told you that there's something about these names and some of these ingredients. Well, I just thought today, because, well, we had another shooting. Within 12 hours of the El Paso shooting, we had a shooting in Dayton, and it took place at Ned Pepper's. It's a bar. Ned Pepper's. And I was thinking, Pepper's, garlic, El Paso. What's going on here? Because you've got both garlic and peppers, got garlic powder at least, in old El Paso salsa. You're cutting up some salsa for us? Of course, salsa, Mexicans and all. I just find it weird. It took place at Ned Pepper's. What's even weirder is that this guy, this gunman, what is his name? Betts. This Betts gunman. Let me find. What is his first name even? Jeez, guys, it's been so hard to keep on top of all this. Absolutely ridiculous. I know his sister's name is Megan. Connor. 24-year-old Connor Betts. Okay, thank you. Thank you, article here. He is pictured in some of these photos we've been shown with a jacket on. On one side, it says, "Against all gods." You know, he was into the whole, all this degenerate, you know, satanic music, that whole scene. I haven't looked too deep into that, but he had some lyrics on his shirt, apparently, when he did the shooting. People can look into that. Yeah, so on this jacket, it says, "Against all gods." On the other side, he has a Baphomet patch. Hey, why isn't there a big investigation into Judeo-Masonry because they worship the Baphomet? Can we look into that? No, white supremacists. We must just look into the white supremacists. He shot up Ned Pepper's. Okay, so this Baphomet guy wears a Baphomet on his jacket. He's against all gods. Shot up a place called Ned Pepper's where he killed his sister. His sister Megan was in Ned Pepper's. Okay? What does that make you think of? Shanae brought this up pretty quickly. Well, you've got Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. And then, of course, we know on the album cover, you had Aleister Crowley, who's shown there. And the Beatles have an interesting way of influencing pop culture now, don't they? And being tied into some of these psyops that are going on right now. This new Helter Skelter, Helter Skelter 2.0, coming about, especially at a time when you've got the movie Once Upon a Time in Hollywood coming out about the Tate LaBianca murders and Charlie Manson, all that. Helter Skelter. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. That's what we're seeing here. We're seeing scripted psyops that are intended to sway public opinion, to move minds, to control minds, to implant triggers. They are running NLP-type operations on people's minds, especially with some of the names that they use, I think. I really think there's something to the names. Let me mention just some of them here. Okay, so 9 victims, 4 were females and 5 were males. You have other victims identified as 27-year-old Louis L. Oglesby, 38-year-old Saeed Salah, 57-year-old Derek R. Fudge. Whose last name is really Fudge? They fudge in the numbers here. 30-year-old Logan M. Turner. Okay, Logan. Yeah, not just the Wolverine movies that come out. But Logan's interesting. Maybe Logan's Run. But the recent shooter was Legan. L-E-G-A-N. But 30-year-old Logan M. Turner. Turner. Hal Turner. Turner Diaries. Things like that, right? 25-year-old Nicholas P. Kummer. 25-year-old Thomas J. McNichols. And you've got the Nichols in there. It just makes me think of Terry Nichols and the Oklahoma City bombing. I'm just thinking there could be something with some of these names that they throw out here. You know, Dylan Storm Roof. Storm Roof. Let's see. 36-year-old Beatrice N. Warren Curtis. And 39-year-old Monica E. Brickhouse. Brick house. Isn't that interesting? Storm. Can we put a storm roof on the brick house? Yeah, it's just, it's pretty ridiculous. Apparently this was all carried out in the Oregon district. So I just want to encourage people, if they are in Oregon, to think about where they might plan something like this. Because maybe this is just a hint as to where they're going to hit next. Yeah, there is a conspiracy here, but it's not by white supremacists to terrorize this country. No, it's another group who's running this terror campaign. Oh yeah, this is a conspiracy for sure. Alright, let's not dwell on this too much longer. The most ridiculous, absolutely most absurd thing I've seen from any of these is the pile of shoes. The pile of shoes that they show at the Dayton shooting event. Okay? You go take a look at yourself. Pile of shoes. They did this with the Holocaust. Ah, look at the shoes. It proves it. You see the room of shoes on the tour. And you know it had to have happened. How else would the shoes have come to be? There's no other way that the Nazis would have gotten all of those shoes. Yeah, so you see a big pile of shoes, and I guess the people who are running away from the incident, they just left them behind. Because you always just go into a bar and take off your shoes, or take off your shoes rather, leave them in a pile, and then go into a bar. That's what happens all the time. No, in fact, you're never allowed into a bar unless you have shoes on. There might be a few along some beaches where you could get in with barefoot. But most bars at 1 a.m., you're going to be wearing shoes. You're going to want to be wearing shoes. Actually, News Radio 610 WTVN said on here on Twitter that people actually ran out of their shoes. They didn't just leave them behind. You know, take off. A lot of them are running shoes. But let me just unlace my running shoes so I can run barefoot in this parking lot and get away from the shooter. No, so they didn't just take off their shoes, these running shoes, which would have been great for it. They ran out of them. When's the last time you were so freaking scared or running so fast that you ran out of your shoes? Tell me, please, how you can run out of running shoes. Let me read the whole tweet here. Dayton Daily News reporter Amelia Robinson described seeing a number of abandoned shoes in the area of tonight's shooting. People trying to flee the scene simply ran out of their shoes. They ran out of their shoes. Are you freaking kidding me? That's what the official explanation is? People trying to flee the scene simply ran out of their shoes. Now, anybody who's been looking into these psyops that they've been running here in the United States, over in Europe, would know that shoes are a hallmark sign that something is afoot. That something stinks like sweaty feet. Yes, shoes are a telltale sign. That photo, that high definition, crystal clear photo of all the people flying in the air when James Fields took that car and rammed it into the anti-fascist. That was, you saw the shoes flying in different directions. It was a beautiful image. Amazing. Whoever took that, do we even know who took that? Should win just all sorts of different kinds of awards. The shoes just flying, all sorts of. I know it happens in cartoons. And yes, there are probably a few incidents where people lost a shoe. Especially if they're these ghetto people who don't tie their shoes because that's not cool and they sag their pants all the way down. Maybe one of them would lose a shoe when running away or something. But in the real world, people don't just run so fast that their shoes fall off. Okay? This is ridiculous. They don't just lose their shoes because they got shot out of them. They got shot so hard that his shoe flew off. Oh, he got hit. these people got hit by a car, so you count, what, you know, 7 shoes flying in the air. It's ridiculous, but people believe it. This world is so freaking stupid. I really want to change this place. I'm not going to say I want to leave this world. Definitely don't want to. Hey, guys, I am not suicidal, but there might be a conspiracy out there that doesn't want to see me alive, to be honest. I don't want to run away. I don't want to go off into space. I don't want to hide in a hole. I want this all to change. But I cannot live sanely, live well, in a world where this kind of stuff is just accepted. Where this is being done to the American people by their own government, by their supposed own media. And let's look at what Miss Ivanka Trump tweeted out today. The president's Jewish daughter. White supremacy, like other forms of terrorism, is an evil that must be destroyed. So if you're a white supremacist, you must be destroyed. It's terrorism. So she agrees with Elizabeth Warren. She agrees with all of these anti-fascists. And it's just so revolting. White supremacy. And they mean anybody who doesn't hate their race as a white person. Or who doesn't like Jews destroying us with their white genocide agenda. White supremacy, aka us, white advocates, we're terrorists. And we must be destroyed. That's what the president's daughter tweeted out today. Isn't that just lovely? Oh, and that base Jew on the right, he completely agrees. He tweeted, hashtag white supremacist terrorism is terrorism and should be treated as such. It is an evil scourge that must be rooted out and destroyed. Yeah, little Ben Shapiro playing that song from Schindler's List on his little violin. Yeah, the video is kind of hilarious. Let me just read a little bit here from what Jews actually say about white people and what our motivations are. These 6 psychopathic creatures project all of their murderous ways onto us. They play the victim when they are indeed the victimizer. So this is from an interview that this guy, Tuvia Tenenbaum, did with an Israeli media outlet. He's promoting his book, Catch the Jew. Let me just read some of this here. Tuvia Tenenbaum. What's happening, and what you people in Israel have to realize, is that your worst enemy today is not the Muslim world. Even today, with ISIS and all that nonsense, they're killing each other, by the way. Your worst enemy is the European world. They are the ones who made you illegal. They are the ones who call you conquerors. By the way, it was the Red Cross who started this. They are the ones who stoke the flames of hatred against you, both in the Muslim world. This is the bitter truth. These white people, with their intelligent and beautiful culture, they are the ones who hate you the most. Might be true. And I am speaking to you as an outsider because I don't live here. They are the ones who murdered the Jews. They are the ones who lust for murder. Excuse me. They are the ones whose lust for murder continues to burn inside them. This is the bitter truth. That's not true. The Jews committed the Hellstorm atrocities. They conducted that. Sure, they weren't always the boots on the ground doing it. Many of them were. But they're the ones who organized it. They also organized the mass rape, torture, extermination of huge areas of the Slavic world. The Red Terror, the Holodomor, and all the rest, the Jew logs, where you could be murdered. Murdered by Jews simply for being an anti-Semite in the Soviet Union. That's the kind of judicial system they set up, where if you were deemed an anti-Semite, you'd be murdered. They call it, you know, the death penalty. You're just murdered for not liking Jews. Not liking Jews ruling over you. That's the bitter truth. Okay, continuing here. When you go and read anti-Semitic literature in Arabic, most of it is translated from European anti-Semitic literature. This is the bitter truth. This is why they're coming after us. They know who the real threat is to their continued rule of this earth. And I say this to all of you right-wingers. Forget about the Muslims. Go after the root of the problem. It's not pleasant. Your families came from Europe. But remember, the Europeans also murdered your grandparents. They don't even just say it's the Germans. It's just the Europeans. The white man did it. Of course, the Germans didn't do it. There weren't death camps. The culture of the white man, the Westerners, is terrifying and horrible, steeped not in love for mankind, but in hatred for the Jew. Forget about the Muslim problem. You won't solve the problem until you look at these people, these human rights geniuses, and show them the bitter truth by holding up a mirror, because that's where the fate of the Jewish people will be decided, unfortunately. Isn't that just lovely? Where these Jews in Israel talking about how the real enemy is the white man. And then you've got Jewish-funded operations like Tommy Robinson and, you know, of course, the EDL and all these other right-wing groups that just love Israel so much and say that the real problem is Islam. And Islam is a problem because they don't like homos and they don't like Jews. They're anti-Semitic. These Semites are anti-Semitic. So we got to focus all of our attention on getting rid of the Muslims, who were, of course, led in by the Jews. Speaking of which, we've got Hias. Yeah, Hias, which was brought to the mainstream attention when the Pittsburgh synagogue shooting at Squirrel Hill with a guy, Robert Bowers, who doesn't even exist and never existed, where he was citing Hias as a reason for what he was doing. And of course, I am sure absolutely every one of you has heard the commercial here on the network where Hias, the woman from Hias, is talking about how they are just getting together all these Jewish groups to ensure that, well, that we get flooded. And we've got other commercials too. Steve Guttow, Zionist Joe Biden, all these other guys. The Rushkoff guy who's talking, Douglas Rushkoff, talking about how Jews are breaking down boundaries and destroying nations. Yeah, they are a threat. Okay, what am I looking for here? Yeah, I wanted to play actually just that ad to give my voice just a rest for a moment before moving on to talk a little bit more about Hias. Jewish immigration ad. Is that the one? I think it could be. Jews and refugees. Joe Biden and Jewish ad. This is how I label them. Jews hate whites ad. Okay, Jews and refugees ad. I think this is the one. Let's go for it. Juber. That's a good one. Okay, anytime now, old Windows machine. Thanks, Microsoft. Thanks, Bill Gates. Your operating system sucks. I should just get this running.
Here is Rabbi Steve Guttow, who was president and CEO of the Jewish Council for Public Affairs.
There are two issues at the top of our agenda at the very moment. One is the unbelievably important immigration debate in this country, to make sure that immigrants from around the world, particularly those from south of our border, have a chance here.
And here's an interview with Rabbi Goldschmidt.
Essentially, what you're saying is that in these both, you're together with both Muslims
yes.
And people of other denominations.
And we see ourselves together, fighting together with our Muslim brothers.
Thanks, Jews.
Okay, that wasn't it. So let's go on to this one. See if this is it.
Last week, yes. Hias organized a letter signed by over 1,200 rabbis. Can you imagine getting 1,200 rabbis to agree on one thing? But agree they did. And what they agreed was to ask our elected officials not to halt or even to limit the United States Refugee Admissions Program. And it's not just Hias. Jewish organizations of all kinds
across the spectrum of Judaism are issuing statements in support of refugees. These have included the Orthodox Union, the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum, and so many of the Jewish organizations that you've heard are co-sponsors of this event.
Yeah, they don't care about the immigrants who try to get into Israel. They don't care about the Palestinians who are trying to get into occupied Israel, the land of their ancestors, who get shot for even coming close to the border. Yes, the IDF will snipe away at anybody who even protests close to Israel, aka occupied Palestine, but yet you don't see any of the kosher politicians over here in the U.S. crying about those poor persecuted people. Now, do you? And they are truly poor and persecuted. It is horrifying what happens to them, and their fate will be our fate unless we stand up to these people. Actually, we might be even treated worse, considering how they really view the threat of the white man. This article is from New Observer Online. Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society again demands U.S. take in refugees, but not in Israel. This came out on July 30th. Hias, the Jewish organization targeted by the Pittsburgh synagogue shooter Robert Bowers on account of its pro-Third World invasion activity, has launched a petition signed by over 1,400 rabbis demanding that the U.S. take in all fake asylum seekers from Latin America while continuing to support Israel, which refuses to take in any refugees at all. As reported by the Jewish Telegraphic Agency, the Hias petition has been signed by more than 1,400 Jewish clergy from across the United States, which calls on government officials to protect the legal right to seek asylum in the U.S. Hias, which describes itself as an immigrant advocacy and aid group, calls on elected officials to act immediately to provide a just and humane asylum process for those seeking safety in our country, wherever they come from and however they arrive. A delegation of rabbis, attorneys, and advocates for asylum seekers delivered the petition last week to congressional representatives on Capitol Hill. Tradition teaches that each and every person deserves to be treated justly and with compassion, it says. Oh, really? That's what the Jewish tradition teaches about Goyim? Oh, what they mean is every person deserves to be treated justly and compassionate. They don't consider us people. Okay. Every Jew needs to be treated justly and with compassion. That's what they really mean. However, under current U.S. policy and practice, asylum seekers instead face an ever-lengthening list of injustices, including family separation, long periods of detention in jail-like facilities, and denial of due process in their legal proceedings. Simply put, our country is treating these individuals as criminals. They are criminals! Even though seeking asylum is a legal right, this must change. They illegally cross the border and then say, oh, I'm an asylum seeker. It also says the Jewish people know what it means to be turned away and to be denied protection. As Jews, we understand the heart of the refugee, and the current actions of our government echo some of the darkest moments of our own history. Oh, yeah, like the, what was it, 6 million times that it was mentioned in a newspaper that 6 million Jews are in danger, we must rescue them, we must do something, before the Holocaust even was invented. 6 million Jews! Oh, another article about 6 million Jews are suffering, they're starving, they're in threat of being pogromed. The petition goes on to state that Jews are committed to fighting hate and standing for our American and Jewish values of protecting the persecuted and welcoming the stranger, irrespective of nationality, race, or religion. These subversive freaking Jews. So the desire to flood America with the third world bogus asylum seekers stands in stark contrast to Hias' approach to Israel, the Jewish ethno-state which refuses to take in any of these fake refugees. In fact, Hias boasts on its website that it facilitates the resettlement of some cases to access safety outside of Israel. They're talking about non-white asylum seekers, that they facilitate non-white asylum seekers to access white lands from Israel. Hias used to boast on its website that it had moved many Africans to the U.S. out of Israel, but following the Pittsburgh synagogue shooting, it has deleted that reference from its website. Huh. oh, yeah, we're just taking all these Africans that get into Israel and bringing them to the U.S. Don't you love us for it? Welcome the stranger, Goyim. How infuriating. When you know the truth, if you are not infuriated by it all, well, there's something wrong with you. You are dead inside. Oh, man, there's so much more to cover. So, of course, before the shooter who was writing a manifesto about the Hispanic invasion and how it's going to turn the state and the country all into Democrats, and that's the biggest evil. Before that happened, on the Drudge Report, you had all these headlines. 1.1 million expected at southern border this year. And even that headline's misleading, as I discussed last night in the roundtable, because that 1.1 million expected this fiscal year is just the number of people that are expected to make contact with the Border Patrol. So the real number, because many people get by, is much more than 1.1 million illegal aliens expected into this country this year. And then add on to that all of the asylum seekers that they're flying in, all of the Muslims, all of the Africans that are being brought into the United States, some of them coming from Canada. We're just talking about the illegals coming to the southern border. This is an invasion. Over 1.1 million are going to be make contact with the Border Patrol. They're going to maybe be detained, many of them not. 100% of the ones who are trafficking children across the border are going to be released, 100%, the DHS chief has said, 100% released and given work permits. Wow. And so under Trump, the number of deportations hadn't even reached 300,000, where Obama was over 3 million. So he's doing 10 times less deportations than Obama. Wow. And we're also reaching peak numbers here. Yes, peachy keen numbers. 218,400 released into USA since December. New migration surge this fall. It's absolutely incredible. And all that we hear in the media is about racism, racism, racism. Let me connect into the call board here, see if anyone wants to call in. Please do. If you are out there, you have something to add. Hope everybody's doing all right. We got a Brian Rue avatar in the chat room talking to Sinead here. Web Ghoul. So please hop on over to the chat, even if you're not willing to call in, renegadebroadcasting.chatango.com. This has been an interesting show here without any breaks. I'm going to keep on rolling, keep trucking here. I guess I'll briefly cover this article also from New Observer about the genetic makeup of the Philistines. And this just goes to show how the people of the Bible, who the Jews hated, you know, has always been the same as the same people. It's the same people who they hate today. So the Philistine people who gave their name to the land called Palestine and who were the ancient Jews' greatest enemy, as recorded in the Bible, were of European origin. Groundbreaking DNA studies have shown. Of course, they race mix themselves out of, you know, being able to claim themselves to be white, but you can actually tell that some of the people still in Palestine have some white genetics. I know there's some suspicious stuff about her story, but Ahed Tamimi is a good example with her blonde hair and blue eyes. But you see a number of Palestinians who share that kind of phenotype, maybe not with as curly of hair, but there are some white, definitely some white genetics within the Palestinian people, and that comes from a long time ago. So some genetic tests were done. I'm not going to get too deep into that, but just goes to show that the Jews hated white people back in the day, just like they hate us here today. And racism is definitely on the rise, and it's being brought up from the past too. For example, first we'll talk, before getting to racist Reagan, we're going to talk about the racist robots. Okay, racism is manifesting itself in so many different ways in our world. And people are just so racist because they prefer white robots over black robots. This is just marketing. This is PR for these industries, because obviously a black, an all-black robot seems a little bit more sinister. It's like the recent RoboCop. Wasn't he all black? That seems tough and intimidating. They're trying to market these robots to people, and white seems pure and friendly. I don't care about how racist that seems. These companies are trying to market these robots as being non-threatening. And if you have an all-black robot, that seems pretty threatening. And it's not even because of the racial angle, I don't think. I think it's just it probably has more to do with color theory than racism, to be honest. It's not that they see these robots as being like Africans. There's a reason we don't trust really dark things. Black things. So they talk about the robots from iRobot, WALL-E, all the Asimo, Ubtex Walker, Boston Dynamics Atlas, NASA's Valkyrie robot. They're all white, shiny material. So they have these new reports out. Robots and Racism came out of the Human Interface Technology Laboratory in New Zealand. New Zealand, huh? And so here's a quote. The bias against black robots is a result of bias against African Americans, lead researcher Christopher Bartnick explained to NextWeb. He told CNN, "It is amazing to see how people who had no prior interaction with robots show racial bias towards them." So people are being racist against robots now. Guys, things are getting bad. White supremacy has just manifested itself in so many different ways. Let's now talk about racist Reagan. Oh, yeah. Out of the Atlantic. Ronald Reagan's long-hidden racist conversation with Richard Nixon. In newly unearthed audio, the then California governor disparaged African delegates to the United Nations. Should we just listen? Let's listen. See if it's good quality. Nope. Wait a second. I muted my browser.
Last night, I tell you, to watch that thing on television, as I did.
Yeah.
To see those monkeys from those African countries. Damn them, they're still uncomfortable wearing shoes.
Well, and then the tail wags the dog there, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The tail wags the dog.
All right, so that was Reagan talking to Nixon. He said, last night, I tell you, to watch that thing on television as I did, to see those monkeys from those African countries, damn them, they're still uncomfortable wearing shoes. And so I guess what was happening was they were dancing in support of, where was that? I don't feel like reading through all of this, but it's an interesting little story. I read it a couple days ago. So when the UN took its vote to seat a delegation from Beijing instead of from Taiwan in 1971, members of the Tanzanian delegation started dancing in the General Assembly. So Reagan was just sickened to see all of these Africans dancing after a vote in celebration. He didn't understand their culture. But guys, look at the articles like this one in the Atlantic. They try to make it seem like they're these people who think that somehow Africans are not as good as white people. They don't understand equality. These backwards, archaic racists just don't understand how we're all equal. Okay. Many countries in Africa have an average IQ in the 60s and in the 70s. Okay. That's really, really low. That's retarded. In the old scale that they used to have, that is retarded. What is that called? Imbecile? Is that the imbecile level? They're nowhere near the white people of this world who were at least averaging around 100 or so we're told. And, oh, the Ashkenazi Jews have such a high IQ. I don't even believe all that BS. The Asians supposedly have a higher IQ than us. Which Asians are they sampling? I'd like to know. But regardless, African IQ is very, very low. With an average in the 60s, that's way lower than Coco the gorilla. How can you have a functioning society when you elevate those people into government? How can that work? That would be like taking people who have Down syndrome and putting them in charge of corporations, putting them in charge of the government. And actually, you know what? I think we'd have a better shot if we had people with Down syndrome than if we had people that work for the Jews or are Jews running our government. I think we'd actually be better off with Down syndrome. I mean, because low IQ doesn't mean necessarily evil. They could at least have some people with smarts around them helping them. They might be smart enough to realize they need some help. But Jews, they're intelligent and evil. So they're very good at screwing us. They're really bad for us, but really good at screwing us. Yeah. Evil intelligence. So the article does talk about the whole scenario at the time, bringing up Nixon's supposed racism and Trump, and I think they'd bring Trump in here. And, yeah. Okay, here's somebody who Nixon was talking to, Bebe Rebosa. He said, that reaction on television was, it proves how they ought to still be hanging from the trees by their tails. It caused a laugh by Nixon. So it's the release of these tapes that came out, you know, recently. You know, Nixon's a racist. Ronald Reagan's a racist. Just all these racists who think blacks are somehow not up to the level of white people. Let's now turn briefly to Ronald Reagan calling for an end to apartheid and for the communist terrorist Nelson Mandela to be released. It's just like how Trump is supposedly a racist, and yet he was good buddies with Al Sharpton and with Jesse Jackson. And as I mentioned, he's not deported anybody and let all these people in, and definitely not built a wall. Maybe repaired some of the fence. But Ronald Reagan, same way. Oh, he's supposedly a racist, and then he's calling for the release of the commie terrorist Nelson Mandela and calling for an end to apartheid. Here's just a little bit.
But if the people of South Africa are to have a future in a free country where the rights of all are respected, the desire for retribution will have to be set aside. Otherwise, the future will be lost in a bloody quarrel over the past. It would be an act of arrogance to insist that uniquely American ideas and institutions rooted in our own history and traditions be transplanted to South African soil.
See, I agree, actually, with a lot of what he's saying there at the beginning. Retribution would lead to bloody results. And that's what we're seeing. And that the U.S. should not impose its own values on another country like that. So, let's continue, though.
Solutions to South Africa's political crisis must come from South Africans themselves. Black and white, colored and Asian. They have their own traditions. But let me outline what we believe are necessary components of progress toward political peace. First, a timetable for elimination of apartheid laws should be set. Second, all political prisoners should be released.
Whoa.
Third, Nelson Mandela should be released to participate in the country's political process. Fourth, black political movements should be unbanned. Fifth, both the government and its opponents should begin a dialogue about constructing a political system that rests upon the consent of the governed, where the rights of majorities and minorities and individuals are protected by law, and the dialogue should be initiated by those with power and authority, the South African government itself.
All right. So that was from 1986. I've played that before, just talking about the communist conspiracy, because he was essentially backing the communist terrorists who were being headed up by commie Jews, of course. And as Sinead showed in her documentary, True Story of Whites in South Africa, it wasn't just Joe Slovo. There were a lot of commie Jews having their way with South Africa. But you know what? They were honestly just taking over from a lot of the good goyim of the Israeli Jews. The Israeli Jews were in bed with the apartheid government, and the commie Jews were in bed with the commie terrorists. And that's the way they set things up now, too, isn't it? Where the right-wing Jews are in bed with Tommy Robinson and some Trump-tards and whatnot, and Alex Jones. And then the left-wing Jews are in bed with, you know, Antifa, with George Soros, and, you know, all these other, the lefties. On one side, you got a Jew. On the other side, you got a Jew. Jews to the left of me, Jews to the right, here I am. Stuck in the middle with you. South Africa farm attacks, what's going on now? Just a brief report, again from New Observer. I'm hungry. Doing all this talking, no breaks, I'm getting hungry. There have been at least 5,148 anti-white farm attacks in South Africa since 1990, during which at least 1,223 farmers, their family members, and workers have been murdered, total increase of 86%, according to new official figures. Between 2000 and 2009, these statistics released by the TAU Agriculture Union in South Africa at its annual conference earlier this month showed that 1,125 farm attacks were reported between 1990 and 1999. Between 2000 and 2009, a further 1,407 cases, an increase of 25% over the previous decade, were reported. In the last 9 years, from 2010 to 2019, at least 2,616 farm attacks were reported, an increase of 86% since 1990. Okay, so that article goes on for a while, talking about the high levels of violence. Who could have expected that? It's anti-white violence, too, and Donald Trump has not done a single goddamn thing as all of the land grabbing is going on and being made constitutional, where they can just take land from any white person that they want to, pretty much. Of course, you know, they're going to go down the same road as Zimbabwe. And actually, you know, let's just go on and talk about Zimbabwe just for a second here. Zimbabwe got rid of all their white people. You know, it used to be Rhodesia. Used to be pretty much a first world country, and blacks were living in that first world country. You know, they weren't first class citizens in it, but they were still benefiting from it. And they're not benefiting from black rule whatsoever. And even after they got rid of Mugabe, they're still not doing well. They're even worse. Zimbabwe, which was widely hailed by the controlled media to have turned a corner and be on the road to recovery following the forced resignation of Robert Mugabe a year ago, is now in even worse condition than ever and has regular 15-hour power cuts, runaway inflation, and endless currency crises and fuel shortages. Of course, they were recently begging for the white farmers to come back. Yep, of course. A report on the ground from Al Jazeera News Service reveals that Africans now long for the days of Mugabe, as they have now realized their worst fear. There is someone who can run the country worse than Mugabe. So, yeah, they talk just about the failing economy, how this guy's just corrupt. It's the same kind of people doing the same things. And how the Africans are just, they're sick of it. See one of these Africans wearing a BC Boston College shirt. It's just so funny how they get all of these used clothes from people in America. But to be honest, it's exactly what I do too, because I do shop at thrift stores. And actually, the clothes are much safer that way, because when you get clothes new, they have a whole lot of chemicals that are still all over them. And it just seems like older clothes are a little bit safer. I'm glad that clothes just don't get wasted. It's just funny seeing these Africans with a, you know, BC shirt on. Okay. What else do we have to go through here before the night is out? I'll skip the criticism of Daily Stormer and their promotion of drones, automation, all that crap. Cyberpunk, they're transhumanists. They're promoting transhumanism over in the Daily Stormer. That's great. Oh, yeah. I mentioned how Trump has commuted the sentence of this Israeli drug dealer. I wrote about this on the Tribune, so do go check that out. The man's name is Ronan Nahmani. He's an Israeli-born Orthodox Jew. And his wife is sick with cancer. And his children wrote Donald Trump a letter. And Donald Trump commuted his sentence for importing many kilos of K2, which turns people into zombies, from China. So, yeah, you have that happening. A number of people in Congress, including Rand Paul, by the way. I thought that was kind of interesting to see Rand Paul getting behind this. Oh, I'm just, it's doing it for libertarian reasons. Right, Rand. Rand at the Wailing Wall. Well, they got behind this and they got him released, just like they did with Shalom Rubashkin. And one of the people who was there getting, getting this drug distributor released from prison was Alan Dershowitz, who we know has been accused of raping children with Jeffrey Epstein, and, of course, Donald Trump in there. But Dershowitz, he was for releasing Shalom Rubashkin, too. I thought that this was interesting. I don't know how much time we have to play this, but Alan Dershowitz... One second. Alan Dershowitz actually had some interesting comments in this interview he was giving, where he talks about how many different people were getting these massages by young women at Epstein's place. As a lawyer, I don't think he should have been naming this many people, but of course he's just trying to make it seem like, I didn't do anything wrong. Think of all these other people who have done just the same thing, gotten these massages. And guys, Dershowitz still had his underwear on, so don't worry about it. He obviously couldn't have done anything. He's proven that the only woman he's ever been with since he got married was his wife.
Virginia Roberts Giuffre, a liar. We have Jenna Lisa Jones as well, false. Courtney Wilde as well, right?
A serial liar and a perjurer.
Okay, so they all say that they were lured into Epstein's care under false pretenses as massage therapists when they were teenagers. And that, yes, they gave massages, but they also gave many other services that they were forced into doing. So there's a massage connection to Epstein.
That's all possible. That's all possible. No, there's no massage connection. There are many, many people who had legitimate massages, including former prime ministers of countries, former leading members of Congress. None of this had any impact on the deal he got. He got the deal because the case against him at that time wasn't strong. Let me be very, very, very clear. I never had any sexual contact with anyone who had any relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. From the day I met Jeffrey Epstein till today, I have had sex with one woman, namely my wife. I have stated that under oath, and I've proved it. Why are you believing these women who have falsely accused Al Gore, falsely accused Tipper Gore, falsely accused President Clinton, falsely accused the former majority leader of the United States Senate, falsely accused the former prime minister of a country? Why do you believe these women who have made these false accusations for money? Look, I don't ever want to see the United States adopt the Turkish legal system, where people are presumed guilty, where judges are arrested, where the head of Turkey...
Legal Turkey? You're talking about bird law?
The bird law in this country, okay. It's not...
Mentioned the importance.
So I took that from the Jamie Deluxe.
Denied them their billion-dollar done for
so
money.
So let me just see if I can find this. But he mentions a lot of the people who have been accused that it actually hadn't been out there in the news that these people had accusations against them, one of which was Leslie Wexner. I can't exactly find that part, and I'm running out of time.
It's just a total attempt to get $1 billion from Leslie Wexner, and it failed because I exposed it, and that's why they're so angry at me, because I denied them their billion-dollar payday. This is a woman who has lied repeatedly, repeatedly, repeatedly. I would say...
Alan Dershowitz says Jews should not apologize for their power. Yeah, and look what they do with their power. They commit white genocide, they rape little white girls, and they promote degeneracy at every level. I didn't even get to talk about the trannies. And they run hoaxes. They run psychological operations on us all. All right, thanks so much for listening, guys. Take care. I'll talk to you all again soon. Thank you, of course, to the supporters. A lot more to come on Renegade Broadcasting.
War on error. We have declared war on error. War on error. We have declared war on error.